Thank you so much, young people. We enjoy the choir competition on Wednesday evening and all the other hard work that goes into what you do musically. We are in a mess in independent Baptist churches in this country when it comes to music. We're in a mess. And the music will take you down the contemporary road faster than any other single element in ministry. And you can see it. Not only the effects of the contemporary music you can hear, but you can see it. There's a dress style that goes with it. There's an attitude that goes with it. It just absolutely consumes if you let it. And I appreciate the good choice of music. I appreciate Brother Tom here helping oversee. We want you to stick with the good old-fashioned music that glorifies God and doesn't start us down the road to contemporary ministry. Okay, we don't need that. There's a bunch of great old songs that are doctrinally straight and musically correct and create the right kind of atmosphere in an independent Baptist church. So thank you for the work you're doing, folks. God bless you. And young people, I hope that you won't just come to convention and sing that. I hope that you'll cultivate a taste for the right kind of music in your home, okay? And let it permeate your life. That'll be a blessing. We're privileged tonight to have Brother Chris Dallas with us. Been in evangelism for 6 years. I'm guessing our paths crossed maybe 4 years ago. Brother Dallas, 5 years ago, preached in our church a couple times. He has a real passion and burden for the next generation. His motto, if you will, for his ministry is passing the mantle. And he has a real heartbeat to get around the aged, the older men of God, and that have forged the path and follow along in the direction that they've trod and so forth. And I've been to some of his conferences. He's got a great thing going. He's got a table in the foyer. I hope that you'll take advantage of it, and I hope that you'll give him an ear tonight. I don't think you'll have a problem paying attention to Brother Chris Dallas. We're glad he's here. Faithman Trio. Brother Calvin, is that correct? Faithman Trio. The Faithman Quartet minus one is going to come and sing for us, and so we'll enjoy the good music. Thank you, Brother Calvin, and you fellows for coming tonight, being here. It's always a joy to have you come. And they'll sing, young people, you listen. And then as soon as they're finished singing, you give your undivided attention to Brother Chris Dallas tonight. He'll be an immense blessing to you. Thank you.
Woman one day tried many physicians, but daily grew worse. In the Bible we're told, but when she had heard, she came to Jesus, and she found what she for body and soul.
If I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch one part of his clothes, I know I'd be healed, my sins all forgiven. If I could just touch him, I know I'd be whole.
Blind Bartimaeus sat by the wayside begging, nobody to help him down life's weary way. Then Jesus came by, and he heard his sad crying. He reached down his hand, and he healed him that day. And one day I sat by the wayside begging, nobody to help me down life's weary way. Then Jesus came by,
amen,
and he heard my sad crying. He reached out his hand and he saved me that day.
If I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch one part of his clothes, I know I'd be healed, my sins all forgiven. If I could just touch him, I know I'd be whole. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch one part of his clothes, I know I'd be healed, my sins all forgiven. If I could just touch him, I know I'd be whole. If I could just touch him, I know I'd be whole.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It is good to be here at Faith Baptist Church at the Pilots Convention. Amen. I thank God for the opportunity to be able to stand before you young people tonight and be able to preach, some of you older folks as well, amen. But I'm glad to be here. I'm preaching behind one of my heroes' pulpits tonight, amen. I love Dr. Terry Angel and definitely got a good name around this country, amen. You can't mention the name Brother Angel and somebody just doesn't brag on his name, amen, and just sees the Lord working in his life. And I'm glad he always lifts up the name of Jesus. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to be here once again. I think this is my third or fourth time. And my brother Gomez actually introduced us to each other. And I was preaching there a few years ago. And he said, I've got a young evangelist coming in and got an open night. And Brother Angel graciously opened up his pulpit to me. And we've become good friends. And I appreciate his ministry. Good to be here amongst you tonight, and I want to be able to be a blessing. I know that we've got mostly teenagers here tonight, but also church folks. So I believe tonight, with the help of the Lord, we could all get something out of the message tonight. Amen. Luke chapter number 20. Going to get right into the message. Luke chapter number 20. Could I get turned up on the monitors just a little bit? Not that I like to hear myself preach, but I got to hear myself preach so I won't strip my voice out. Amen. Luke chapter number 20. That's good right there. Luke chapter number 20. Let's look at verse number 1. Let's all stand as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Now you understand, we get this from the book of Ezra, where they stood when he read the Word of God, amen. But not only did they stand, but they said amen when they agreed with what he read, amen. So if you agree with something tonight, you just say amen. Luke chapter number 20, let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says that it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, tell us by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believed ye him not? But, and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Now let's pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I sure do love young people, dear God. Lord, I understand tonight, Lord, that stands in this room, Lord, the next generation. Dear God, we pray tonight, Lord, that you would work in the hearts of each and every one of us here tonight. Dear God, I pray, Lord, that you would take the Word of God, Lord, I pray that you'd apply it to each and every heart. And dear God, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, that maybe that there's a young man that's, Lord, struggling whether or not to preach or not, Lord, you've got the call of God on their life. I pray that they'd surrender that call. Lord, I pray, Lord, a young lady, Lord, would just dedicate herself to stay pure to the marriage altar. Lord, I pray, Lord, that many decisions would be made. Dear God, Lord, we need some great difference makers in our country. But Lord, before we can make a difference, there has to be made a choice. And dear God, I pray, Lord, that choice will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll give you all the honor and glory for what you do. In your precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. For those of you that have been to Bible college, you'll find out very quickly that this is not a homiletically correct message. Amen. And I hate to even say that with the homiletics teacher here tonight. Amen. But you say, well, Brother Dallas, I don't know what homiletics is. Well, you're better off not even knowing what it is. Amen. I believe in homiletics, but I'm not going to let homiletics mess with my preaching. Amen. You'll find here, just let me lay just a very brief foundation. You'll find that there was a group of religious leaders that wanted to get rid of Jesus. So they tried to trap him with their questions. And if Jesus answered his authority came from God, or if he stated openly that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, they would accuse him of blasphemy and bring him to trial. And Jesus did not let himself be caught, but instead he turned the question on them. Thus, he exposed their motives and avoided their trap. But I just want you to look at one verse tonight. I want you to look at verse number 1. And there was a phrase that stuck out to me in verse number 1 that had never stuck out to me like this before. But I want you to look at verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass that on one of those days, you understand, as we travel through this journey called life, most days are just plain, ordinary, run-of-the-mill days. For you adults here tonight, those of you that have jobs, you may get up in the morning and you have the same routine, day in and day out. If you're a child of God, hopefully the first thing you do is you'll open up your Bible and let the Word of God speak to you. Then get on your knees and pray, and then after that, spend some time with God. Take a shower, get dressed, maybe eat a little breakfast. And then you'll go off to work or go off to school and do the same routine, just any plain, ordinary, run-of-the-mill days. But you realize as we travel through this journey called life, some days aren't just plain. Some days aren't just ordinary. Some days aren't just run-of-the-mill. Some days just stick out more than other days. You understand this tonight? You realize as we refer to specific days as we travel through this journey called life. Can I say it was just one of those days that I got saved by the grace of God. That day I walked into the church house. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't looking for it. But thank God the Holy Ghost of God could have brought conviction upon anybody's heart that night. But He didn't just bring a conviction upon anybody's heart. But He came to the very pew that I was sitting in and brought conviction upon my heart. And I took heed to that Holy Ghost conviction. And I called on God to save my soul. And my life has never been the same since that day. It was just on one of those days I surrendered to preach the gospel. If I could have picked anyone else to preach, it sure would have been this old boy. But thank God my Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I wouldn't have picked me to preach, but thank God there's a God in heaven that put a calling on my life. And that's why I can go around this country with a smile on my face and joy unspeakable and full of glory, because I know what God has called me to do. Amen. It was on one of those days I got married to the love of my life. I went out and spent all of my life savings, all the $200 I had in the bank, and put a ring on her finger. No, it cost more than that. It was on one of those days I got saved. It was on one of those days I surrendered to preach. It was on one of those days I got married. You understand, it's just one of those days we have birthdays and anniversaries. As I go through my Bible, I see many things happen on just one of those days. You understand, it was just one of those days. God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul on one of those days. It was just one of those days a young man named Joseph dreamed a dream and revealed it to his brethren, and his brothers despised him because of it and sold him into slavery. And life wasn't always easy for Joseph, but on one of those days, Joseph's dream came true, and his brothers bowed down to him just like he said he would and asked favor of Joseph on just one of those days. It was just one of those days Elijah prayed fire down from heaven. It was on one of those days Elijah on top of Mount Carmel slew 450 prophets of Baal on one of those days. It was on one of those days Elijah called Elijah's mantle as he ascended on a chariot in a whirlwind of fire up to heaven. It was on one of those days Jephthah decided to lay his head in Delilah's lap. And as a result, he lost the very power of God on one of those days. It was on one of those days that David decided to stay at home when he should have been at war. And as a result of that, he committed sin with Bathsheba on one of those days. As I think about America tonight, it was just one of those days, July the 4th, 1776, when 56 men signed the blueprints of how our country we live in should run, called the Declaration of Independence. And I begin to wonder if those men were alive today, would America be in the shape that she's in? I guarantee you she wouldn't be in the shape she's in if those men were alive. Can I say it was just one of those days, April the 14th, 1912, what many claim is a luxurious hotel of water and the unsinkable ship called the Titanic hit an iceberg off the coast of Newfoundland as it sank to its cold, watery grave on one of those days. It was on one of those days, October the 29th, 1929, as America was about to begin flourishing when the Great Depression began with the stock market crashed. It was on December the 7th, 1941, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. It was on one of those days, February the 19th, 1945, through March the 17th, when American Marine forces stormed the little island of Mount Suribachi. And to their surprise, 20,000 Japanese defenders were in underground bunkers, and 6,000 of our men died on one of those days. It was just any plain, ordinary, run-of-the-mill days. Up until about 9 o'clock in the morning, on September the 11th, 2001, as I was sitting in a Bible college class, and I heard the news that an aircraft hit one of the Twin Towers. About 45 minutes to an hour later, I heard that a second plane hit the other tower. And it will be one of those days that will be ever remembered in the hearts of every true red-blooded American. There's many amazing, spectacular things that have happened on just one of those days. It was on one of those days Jesus touched the blinded eyes. It was on one of those days he called the deaf to hear. It was on one of those days he saved the woman at the well. It was on one of those days he cast demons out of a crazy man. It was on one of those days he made the lame to walk. It's on one of those days Saul, the murderer of Christians, became the Apostle Paul. Can I say maybe on one of those days God saved the lost family of yours you've been praying for? Can I say maybe on one of those days you got victory over things in your life? Can I say tonight to some adults, maybe on one of those days you got victory over seeing, instead of singing, I've got friends in low places, you started singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that blood. Lose all their guilty stains. You ever had just one of those days? That's what I want to preach to you just for a few minutes tonight. On just one of those days. Can I ask you this question tonight? You ever had just one of those days where Jesus passed by your way? As I begin to think about my life and how I was lost and undone for 22 years. And 22 years times 365 days equals 8,030 days. If I would have died on any of those days, I would have split hell wide open. But thank God on one of those days I got saved by the good grace of God. On one of those days, instead of being addicted to the things of this world, I became a child of the King. On one of those days, I was headed down a dead end road of turmoil. But on another day, Jesus passed by my way and put me on the right path. And can I tell you tonight, my life has never been the same. Can I say to you, some of you young people here tonight, you're looking for the next big thing. Can I say it doesn't get any bigger than Jesus Christ passing by your way and getting saved by the grace of God? Can I say that night, all of hell went out and all of heaven came in when Jesus passed by my way? I'm reminded of a story of a little girl that was in need of a blood transfusion. And if she didn't get a blood transfusion, she was losing blood at a very fast pace. And if she didn't get a blood transfusion, very quickly she was going to die. So the family obviously searched frantically through the rest of the family with someone that with the same blood type to give her a blood transfusion. And finally they came to her little cousin. His name was Johnny. He was 10 years old. Johnny was just a boy's boy outside playing in the dirt, playing football, all kinds of sports, robust and full of energy. They went to Johnny. They said, Johnny, they said, your cousin Susie has come down with a rare blood disease. And unless she gets a blood transfusion, she's going to die. And Johnny, we know that you have the same blood type that she does, and would you give of your blood so she may live? And Johnny said for Susie, he said, absolutely, I will. So the day came where they rolled both gurneys down the hallway. Susie's lying there in the gurney with just pale and thin and just about lifeless. Johnny's there, robust and full of energy, and the other gurney could barely keep him tamed. They rolled the gurneys into the room where they were about to perform the blood transfusion. And the doctor came over to insert the needle into Johnny's vein, and all of a sudden, Johnny's smile faded from off his face. And he looked at the doctor, and he said, Doctor, he said, when do I die? And it was only at that moment the doctor realized that Johnny thought by giving up his blood, he was going to have to die in order to save his cousin Susie. Fortunately, there that day, Johnny did not have to die. But can I remind us of one over 2,000 years ago that gave a blood transfusion to the entire world? And by his blood, every one of us can be saved tonight. Can I say tonight, you're looking at a preacher, don't want to assume anything. I don't want to assume just because you go to a Christian school or you come from a godly family or your mom and dad's on staff. Can I say, I don't want to assume that you ever took heed to when Jesus passed by your way. Can I ask you tonight, has there ever been a time when the Holy Ghost of God came to your pew and put conviction upon your heart and you saw yourself as a sinner, destined to a place called hell? And you realize that moment, it didn't matter what home you grew up in. It didn't matter if you was a member of the youth department. But you realize at that moment, the only hope for you is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Have you ever been saved? Now there's some men in here tonight. Maybe your favorite store is a Bass Pro Shop or a Gander Mountain or a Napa Auto Parts. Only thing I know where, what, only merchandise I know where it's at in the parts store is where the beef jerkies and Reese's Pieces are at. Amen, right there at the front. But my favorite store in all the world is a Sam's Wholesale Club. Y'all know what Sam's is here in Illinois, amen? You understand, in order to shop at Sam's, you have to be a member in order to shop there. Can I testify something to you tonight? I've never been a member of Sam's Wholesale Club. My wife has been a member for a long time, but I've never been a member. And you understand, they'll let you through the front doors of Sam's Wholesale Club. And you can go up and down each and every aisle. And you can look at the merchandise. The reason I love Sam's is because when I was in Bible college, Brother Robidoux, is that how you say it, Robidoux? Amen. I'm trying to get my Cajun accent. Amen. The reason I like Sam's so much is because when I was in Bible college, I was as broke as the Ten Commandments. Amen? And on Fridays and on Saturdays, you could go through there and you could just be minding your own business, Brother Angel. Just looking at the merchandise and poof, out of nowhere, there would be these nice little old ladies giving away free food. Amen? I was walking through there one Friday or Saturday. I can't remember what day it was, and I was just looking at the merchandise and poof, out of it, nowhere, there was this lady serving up Black Angus burgers. Somebody say hallelujah on the Black Angus burgers, amen. And she was cutting them in fours. So I was in a prayer class that semester. So I took a Bible promise, you have not because you ask not, amen. And I made sure nobody was looking. And I said, ma'am, I said, is there any way instead of cutting mine in fours, I could just have the whole thing? She looked around, made sure nobody was looking, and she said, here you go, it's yours. I thought I'd die to go to heaven in Sam's Wholesale Club, amen. So I was walking through there. I had it wasn't a whole hamburger now. It was about a half gone, amen. And poof, out of nowhere, there was this nice little lady. She was serving up IBC root beer. How many of you know what IBC root beer is? And I told her to pour it in a cup because it looks like a beer bottle, amen. So I had it in a cup. So, you understand, went through Sam's, wasn't a member, but I was able to partake of some of the samples that they were giving away. But you understand, when you go through Sam's, you can get one basket. You can get two or three baskets, whatever you need, and go up and down each and every aisle. And you can pick this off the shelf. You can pick that off the shelf. You can pick a little bit of this off the shelf, and you can fill that cart up. But do you realize whenever you get up to the cash register, it don't matter how much cash you have. It doesn't matter how many credit cards you have. Doesn't even matter how many checkbooks you have. If you don't have that one thing called a Sam's card, you're not checking out with the merchandise. You understand? I'm not trying to make anybody doubt anything tonight. But I believe there's some young people in our Christian schools all over this country. They pick dressing right off the shelf. They pick singing the right kind of music off the shelf. They pick obeying authority off the shelf and this off the shelf. Can I say all those things are good and commendable things? But can I tell you, my friend, when we all stand before God, and if we don't have that one thing called salvation, you're not going home to be with the Lord. Has there ever been just one of those days where Jesus passed by your way and you touched the hem of His garment and you trusted in Him for salvation? Second of all tonight, can I ask you, has there ever been just one of those days where you made your mind up, you were going to have an overwhelming hatred for sin? You ever just had one of those days where you totally got upset and you got mad and you said, I'm going to live for the Lord and righteousness instead of living for sin and Satan, and you made your mind up on one of those days, I'm going to have an overwhelming hatred for sin? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That word adversary means he's an enemy or a foe. Can I remind us tonight, we need to find out who the true enemy is. It is not other than Slewfoot himself, old Satan. John chapter 10, verse number 10 says this, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Can I remind us tonight, the thief there is Satan. And he wants nothing more but to steal your love for God, to kill your desire to serve God, and to destroy your mind, never to live for God ever again. Can I say tonight, people tell me all the time, Brother Chris, you act like you're mad or you're angry when you preach. Can I say, I am mad, but I know who I'm mad at, and it's other than the devil himself. If there's ever been a time in my life I've hated the devil anymore, it's right now in my life. Can I say I'm sick and tired of seeing him bust up families and destroy lives? I'm sick and tired of the devil getting the victory over marriages and they end up in divorce court. I'm sick and tired of many moms and dads across this country who have 7th and 8th graders that are hooked on dope and their daughters are pregnant out of wedlock. I'm about sick and tired of preaching in public schools or preaching in Christian schools, and you get your heart out and you try to invest in young people, and as soon as they graduate, they'll go out here to sow their wild oats and live for the devil. Can I say tonight, instead of what we need tonight is some young people to say, I'm going to have a hatred for sin. I'm going to have a hatred for sin. Can I tell you tonight, young people, listen to me. Yeah, Satan will paint you a pretty picture. He'll show you all the bright lights. He'll show you all the big money. He'll show you all the nice looking cars. Can I tell you tonight, he only shows you part of the picture. He doesn't show you the eternal dangers that come with living a life for him. Why don't we get some young people tonight to find out what it is to hate sin again? Can I remind us tonight, dirty magazines are still sin. Internet pornography is still sin. Lewd dancing is still sin. Fornication is still sin. Britney Spears and Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber and One Direction. Can I say there's sin tonight? And we need to identify what sin is. Mixed swimming is still sin. Running around half naked is still sin. Running around with friends who don't honor and glorify God is still sin. And can I say, I think if there's anything else in this world that we need to be preaching on, it's sin again in America. Let me tell you something, young people. You want me to tell you who your best friends in the world are, other than your mom and daddy? It's that youth director. And it's that pastor that will stand up and preach the truth, whether it steps on your toes or not. He loves you tonight, and he wants you to live for God. You say, you look like you're mad, and I am mad. But I'm mad at Satan tonight. God, give us some young preachers from these youth departments here tonight that'll get a hatred for sin and Satan and die to your flesh and desires and be led by the Spirit of God and lift up your King James Bibles and proclaim sin as sin and turn this world upside down for the cause of Christ. Young person, you ever just had one of those days where you just got fed up with sin? You understand tonight? The night you got saved, there was a new resident that came to live inside you. His name's the Holy Ghost of God tonight. It's been illustrated this way. On June the 16th, 2007, I left my mother and father's house for the last time as a single man. And I drove about 15 minutes away from their house to the Bethel Baptist Church in Walls, Mississippi. And I drove around the back of the building and got out of my car and went into a room there in the back of the church where the teenagers would meet on Sunday. And myself and about six other men put on tuxedos. And just a few minutes later, we walked out on a platform and my future bride came through the back door. And we had a wedding ceremony. And I was so nervous, that was the first kiss I would ever plant on her lips. It was the first kiss that she would ever have. I was so nervous, Brother Angel. I forgot to take the veil off her face, and the first kiss was the veil. Amen. But thank God the preacher gave me a second chance. And I'm just going to testify to you that the second kiss was a lot better than the first kiss. Amen. But after the wedding ceremony, we had a reception. It seemed like it lasted for eternity. But you understand, I got to church there by myself there that day. But I left the church that night. Somebody went home with me. She started the day as a Faust, and she got an upgrade and became a Dallas. Amen? You understand, August the 16th, 1998, I left the other side of Memphis. I was living in a halfway house for dope addicts and alcoholics. My life was a mess. I hadn't talked to my mom and dad in over 6 months because they had to change their phone number because they got harassing phone calls from dope dealers that I owed money to. My mom called. She said, Chris, she said, your sister and I found a church that we've been going to, and we'd like for you to come out tonight. I immediately agreed to go, not to hear about God, not to learn about the Lord. I immediately agreed to go so I could just manipulate my mother and father to let me come back home. But I got to church there that night, and there was somebody there more powerful than I was. There was somebody there more powerful than the crowd I was running around with. The invitation time, I didn't know what was happening then, but I know what was happening now. It was called good old Holy Ghost conviction. And there was a man that came and stood beside me, and he put his arm around me. He said, you don't know who I am. He said, but I've been praying for you. And when he said those words, this old cold, stony heart began to melt. And he was able to take a King James Bible and take me on a journey. And that journey was called the Romans Road. And that night I applied Romans 10:13 to my heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And can I say that to the best of my ability? I bowed my head and called on God to save my soul. And my life has never been the same. Can I tell you that night I got to the church there. I was as low as a person possibly could be. I was as empty as a person possibly could be. But thank God I left the church that night and somebody went home with me. And his name was the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Your background may not be the same, but if you're saved, the story's the same. He's in you tonight. Just think with me for a minute. If Brother and Miss Angel were to have me over to their home, and we were to go there and sit in the living room, and I were to ask to be excused a few minutes later, and I went to the restroom, and I was going about 15 or 20 minutes, and all of a sudden, Brother and Miss Angel heard the loudest crashing and banging and carrying on in the back room. They would probably get up from their seat in the living room and come and see what was going on. And they would rush into the room where I was at, and I had a sledgehammer in my hand. And I was knocking a wall out. Now, I've never seen Miss Angel lose her temper. But she would probably say, Brother Dallas, maybe not that loud, amen, but she'd probably say, Brother Dallas, what are you doing? And I would say, well, I just don't like this wall right here. And she would say, well, Brother Dallas, this isn't your house. This is my house. And I wonder tonight, maybe there's some young people, there's some adults. The Holy Ghost of God is living inside you tonight. And you listen to that music and God says, what are you listening to? This isn't your house. This is my house. How dare you wear that when you're not in competition? This isn't your house. This is my house. How dare you watch that when you think nobody else is around? Have you forgot? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I'm there when nobody else is around. We need some young people tonight to rise up in your youth departments and say, I don't care who else is rebelling. I don't care who else is going around everybody else's back and doing wrong. But as for me and my house, I'm going to live for the Lord and I'm going to serve Him and I'm going to rise to the occasion where I find out what it is to hate sin and hate Satan. You ever just had one of those days? Can I say you ever had just one of those days where Jesus passed by your way? You ever just had one of those days when you have an overwhelming hatred for sin? Third of all tonight, you ever just had one of those days where you couldn't help but just praise God for His goodness? Psalm 34, the Bible says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. When's the last time, young person, you just thank God for salvation? When's the last time you thank God that you had the Word of God that you could read? When's the last time you thank God that He's given you health? When's the last time we just took time to thank God and we didn't go to God in prayer and just say, give me, give me, give me, but we took time to just thank Him? When's the last time we thanked Him for imputed righteousness and justification? When's the last time we thanked God for a church to go to? When's the last time we thank God that when we opened up the refrigerator, beer cans weren't falling out of it, and Mama wasn't on the couch hungover from the night before, but we praise God that He gave us a God-fearing family, a dad and a mom that have sacrificed to put us in a Christian school? Can I say, young people, I'm about sick and tired for old dope addicts getting saved in the late 20s and the early 30s. Have more fire and zeal for the things of God. It's the sounds of young people that have been raised in church before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye. We need some young people to raise up and say, I'm just going to praise God for the goodness in my life. Just one of those days. And lastly, I finish tonight. You ever had just one of those days where Jesus passed by your way? When you get mad at sin? Where you can't help but praise God for His goodness? And can I remind us tonight, on one of those days, Jesus is coming back for His own. Amen. I believe Jesus is coming back and He's closer than He's ever been. I believe He could even come back before this service is over tonight. The Jehovah Witness say that the 144,000 will inherit the earth. I say they could keep the stinking earth. Amen. I'm going home to be with the Lord. One of those days that always the sky's going to break, and I'm going home to be with my Savior. Can I say tonight, thank God that this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our chances are laying up somewhere beyond the blue. And can I say tonight, young people, there ain't much time left. There ain't much time to waste your time and just get into foolish things. It's about time that we rise up out of our sleep and start living for God, because He's coming back before any of us think tonight. Have you ever had just one of those days? Young person, I'm not talking about a date in the front of your Bible. I'm not talking about a date that just flows smoothly off your lips. I'm not talking about what position your mom or dad holds in the church. Has there ever been a time where Jesus passed by your way, convicted your soul? You saw yourself as you were a sinner, destined to a place called hell. And you realized at that moment that the only hope for you was the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? Thank God for the competition. I'm going to stick around tomorrow and watch some of the competition. But eternity is not based upon competition. It's not about the good outweighing the bad. It's that we all stand guilty before God. Before salvation. I'm reminded of a story of a young man that lived a very mischievous life. He was always in trouble. Back in the day when horse thievery was a major crime in America. And he had done all kinds of different things to land himself in jail, but one day he thought he'd be a little bit more mischievous than he had been, and he stole a neighbor's horse and buggy. He began to ride around the countryside, just having a good old time. And I don't know what it was, a snake or some other creature, but it spooked that horse to the place where it began to run at a very fast pace. And the young man lost the reins of the horse, lost control of the horse. And it began to run at a very fast pace. And the young man began to become very fearful, because he realized the town wasn't very far away. And if he or somebody else didn't get control of the horse, that surely it was going to plow over somebody, hurt him, or even kill him. So he began to see the town coming from a distance. He began to see it coming very fast. And there was a woman and her daughter walking out of a convenience store, and they were walking across the street. And they just began to become very fearful because they saw the runaway horse. There was a sheriff that came in, and he just began to take the woman and her daughter and just threw them to the side. And he was able to grab a hold of the reins of the horse, that sheriff and that judge. The next day, they brought the young man into court. It wasn't anything new to him. He had been to court many times before and went before the judge. But you understand, and never did he commit horse thievery. And you understand, the guilty plea came across the bench, and he was going to spend life in prison. And the officers of the jail began to drag that young man through the back doors there. Began to say, "Judge, don't you remember who I am? I'm the young man that you saved my life yesterday, and you saved the life of that young woman and her daughter." And the judge said, "Son," he said, "yesterday I was your savior, but today I'm your judge." Can I say, young person, tonight, Christ could be your Savior. But if you stand before Him guilty in your sin without Christ, on that day He will be your judge, and you go to that awful place called hell. You ever had one of those days where Jesus passed by your way and you took heed to that conviction and you got saved by the grace of God? Young person, what sin is it that's keeping you from having that direct fellowship with God? Was you once on fire for God? Was you once showed up for team soul winning and you did all this? I understand you're at competition tonight. But listen to me. I know who I'm talking to tonight, including this preacher right here. We're all a bunch of sinners. Either sinners saved by the grace of God or sinners destined to hell tonight. You ever had one of those days where you just had an overwhelming hatred for sin and you finally made your mind up that you was going to live for the Lord in righteousness? You ever just have one of those days where you just can't help but praise God for His goodness? And lastly tonight, thank God on one of those days, Jesus Christ is coming back. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. I thank you for being a phenomenal group of young people to preach to tonight. Thank you for your attentiveness. Thank you for sitting up and listening. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. You've got this preacher's word. I'm not going to embarrass you by no means. I will not come to you. I will not call you out. I'm not going to come drag you to the altar. I just want to know who I could pray for tonight. I wonder who would say all across the building tonight, in the balcony, on the floor, anybody here tonight, I wonder who said, Brother Dallas, yes, I'm in a Christian school. Yes, I come from a godly family. Yes, Brother Dallas, I've got my dress standards down pat. I've got my music down pat. But Brother Dallas, one thing I don't have in order, I don't have eternity in order. And Brother Dallas, where I'm at right now with God, if I were to die tonight, I don't have that assurance that others have in the youth department that I'd go to heaven. Brother Dallas, I know that God has spoke to my heart before. He's even speaking to my heart now. Brother Dallas, I'm not sure I'm saved. And I sure would appreciate it, you as a Baptist preacher, if you'd pray for me that I'd get that settled in my life before it's too late. Brother Dallas, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? I wonder if there would be anybody like that would just raise their hand. Be honest enough just to raise your hand right where you're at tonight. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see those hands. Keep your hands raised up high tonight. Just keep them raised up high. This preacher right here, I promise you, you've got my word. I will not embarrass you. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I need some lady altar workers just to stand right up here. I need some men altar workers just to stand right up here. Those of you that are got your hands raised, everybody else has got their eyes closed, their heads bowed. But if you have your hands raised right now, I want you just to look at this preacher. I just want you to look at this preacher. Would you just catch my eye tonight? Would you just catch my eye? Young man, would you catch my eye? I see you. I see you, young man. Is there anybody else? I just want you to keep your eyes on me. Nobody else. Is there anybody else? Say, Brother Dallas, I'm not sure I'm saved tonight. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. I want you to catch my eye now. I want you to look at me. I see you looking at me. So what we're going to do, you're probably used to it. It's called an old-fashioned altar call. Son, is God dealing with your heart right now about your salvation? Is He dealing with your heart? I want you just to stand up right where you're at. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But I want, if God's dealing with you right now, would you just stand up and talk to this man right here? Would you do that? Young man, or would you looking at me? Ma'am, young lady, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you. That's just you and I talking. Is God dealing with your heart right now about your salvation? You don't know for sure you're saved. Would you let this young lady right here talk to you? Would you let her do that? Or won't you just step up and let her talk with you real quick? Is there anybody else here tonight? Listen to me. This preacher loves you. I prayed for you. I haven't even known your name, but I prayed for you. And the last thing I want you to do is die and go to hell. I want you to be saved. You want me to tell you why I go across this country and preach my guts out and live out of a suitcase? Don't feel sorry for me. I'm living my life's dream. But I do it so maybe I could get the heart of a young person that wouldn't have to live the life that I lived before God saved me. Satan is a liar. He'll promise you a bunch of stuff and he'll just sell you a bill of lies. But I serve a God tonight that'll never lie to you, and He always keeps His promise. Young person, I just want you to raise your hand tonight if God's dealing with your heart. I may not be able to see you looking at me, but I just want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody else? Say, Brother, I see this hand right here. Son, won't you look at me? Son, is God dealing with you right now? Is there anybody else? Brother Dallas, I'm not sure. I'm saved. Would you pray for me? I wonder if you just raise your hand. Young lady, did you raise your hand? I want you to just look at me if you raise your hand. I want for anybody, said Brother Dallas. God's dealing with my heart about some sin in my life. I'm not right with God like I once was. Brother Dallas, whether the music I'm listening to, whether the friends I'm running around with, whether the things I'm talking about on Facebook or other things, Brother Dallas, there's some sin in my life and I need to get right with God tonight. I wonder if you just slip up your hand tonight. I want there to be some young people. I see those hands. I see those hands all across the building. Young person, we don't want you to go in detail what your sin is. I just want you to step out right where you're at tonight. I want you to come down this old-fashioned altar. Why don't you get that thing right with God tonight? Why don't you get that thing right with God tonight? How many of you would testify tonight, Brother Dallas? I've got a good life. I got a Christian family. I go to a good church. I got a youth pastor that loves me and cares for me. But Brother Dallas, here lately, I've just taken those things for granted. And I haven't seen the goodness in my life like I should. And Brother Dallas, I hadn't been praising God like I should. I wonder if you just lift up your hands tonight. Why don't you just step forward right where you're at tonight? Come down this old-fashioned altar. There's no better time than the present to do business with the Lord. Young person, adults, we're going to get out of here at a decent time, but I believe if I know Brother Angel's heart, the only thing that's on the schedule right now is God doing His work. As the pianist begins to play,